I've Got My Teeth in You. Written by Black Cat. Read by Opal Song. Fandom, Star Wars. Rating, teen. Relationship, Cody, Obi-Wan, Darth Maul. Also tagged for Alternate Universe, Role Reversal. Sith, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Jedi, Maul. Inappropriate Use of the Force. Humor. Flirting. If Jedi Maul doesn't have excessive amounts of jewelry and his tits out, what is even the point? Produced for Marianas for ITPE 2023.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold, yeah, like glitter. Do you walk in the Valley of Kings? Do you walk in the shadow of men who sold their lives to a dream? Do you ponder the manner of things? In the dark,
the planetary forces have captured a Sith, and Maul has nothing but a bad feeling about this. Sir, Cody says, wholly unenthusiastic about all of this, because he very clearly shares every last one of Maul's misgivings. If you would just take a squad with you. The Prime Minister was very clear that clones were not included in his invitation, Maul says disdainfully. And when Cody pulls a face, he snorts in agreement. He's been called it far too often, even as a Jedi, not to have incredible amounts of sympathy for the clone's plight. At the very least, his master never put up with such a thing inside the Order, and Maul has tried his best to do the same in the Gar, but the galaxy is very large, and people are ignorant asshats everywhere. Since when have you obeyed the rules? Cody asks, dry, and gets the door before Maul can wave it open. Mostly to push bodily through the security forces on the other side, using his armored bulk as a battering ram, Maul thinks, deeply amused, and doesn't bother to protest as he sweeps after Cody, chin tipped up and eyes fixed forward. The chains and beads decorating his horns clink against the piercings in his ears. And Maul puts a hand up, resettling a string with a few beads from Feral's Padawan braid. Through the glass, he can feel an echo, Feral's quick, cocky smile, a flicker of somewhere that's dark and full of dripping water, men in armor and Feral drowsing against the shoulder of a clone in blue. He cracks an eye open, shifts like he's about to push up, but Maul quiets the instinct with a thought. A glancing touch of reassurance that carries. Feral is still wounded and needs as much rest as he can get, and for all that their bond as twins carries clearly even across great distances, Maul has no intention of disturbing him. Sir? Cody asks, and Maul lets go of the beads, takes a breath to steel himself for the coming stupidity. He's not allowed to terrorize planetary leaders. His former master was very clear on that, and Maul could disobey, but Mace has enough headaches already just dealing with Savage and his tendency to ignore any and all orders he doesn't like. After all, Maul is the good student. He's not the one who's almost given his master 6 heart attacks in the span of the last year, the way Savage has Master Che. Maul is convinced everyone in the temple thought that making Savage a healer would make him more manageable. He could have told them just how wrong that assumption was and saved them quite a lot of trouble. The 501st seems to have reached a safe place to bed down, he says, and Cody nods, relief flickering. General Farrell is still holding steady? He asks quietly. Maul closes his eyes just for a moment, though he doesn't reach for Farrell again. Resting, he says, and narrows his eyes at the local captain who's headed for them. One step and the captain seems to think better of his course, veering off towards the wall like that's the direction he intended to go all along. Maul snorts, unimpressed, and slants a look at Cody. I believe you were supposed to wait by the gates, Commander. Was I? Cody asks mildly. Sorry, sir. I'll get lost if I turn around now. Maul flicks a glance from him to the gate that's still clear behind them. Of course, Commander. When I think of you, I always think of a completely directionless creature, helpless without a guide, like a delicate baby Eope. That's me, sir. I get turned around just walking in a circle. Cody gets the next door, too, though he at least lets Maul take the lead through this one. Because there are no troops to push through, Maul assumes. He casts a glance up and down the wide, sun-filled hall, but it's entirely empty, without even guards waiting. Something prickles down his spine, wary, and he frowns. Cody scans the hall as well, attention knife sharp as he tilts his head, deliberately at the wide windows. Maul looks, then glances at him, and Cody meets his gaze and says, perfectly even, If you were curious, sir, General Windu and General Galia raised their bet about you making dignitaries cry. I think it's up to almost 400 credits now. If the dignitaries here have caught a Sith, I hardly think it's me who would be making them cry, Maul says disdainfully. The skies are empty, he thinks. There should be guards and speeders. He saw them when he was here just 3 days ago. Either Skywalker is whining and they've been driven to tears of frustration, or... The wide doors in front of them creak open, and Maul comes to a dead stop on the threshold, his eyes locking on the smiling Sith lounging against the far wall, with a squad of droids around him. Master Oppress, Obi-Wan Kenobi says, as cheerful and polite as if they're meeting in the middle of a gala somewhere, and not while he has his hands bound in front of him, a dozen blasters aimed at him. What a delight to see you again. When the Prime Minister mentioned an Oppress Jedi, I thought I might be getting the bitey one. Maul narrows his eyes, fingers curling so tight against his palms that his rings dig into his skin. Feral, he says sharply, is very far from you, as he shall remain Sith, unless you wish to lose every last one of your limbs. Obi-Wan chuckles, eyes bright, like this is fun. Threatening dismemberment, Maul? I thought Jedi were discouraged from revenge. Maul smiles thinly. You're mistaking me, Kenobi. I wouldn't be the one doing the dismemberment. Farrell is perfectly capable of holding his own against you in a duel, assuming your deplorable little apprentice is elsewhere, stalking helpless women as he seems wont to do. Just for a moment, Obi-Wan looks deeply aggrieved. I've spoken with Anakin about his actions, he says with a sigh. Though if you're referring to Senator Amidala as helpless, I think I'd like to know what precisely you were drinking when you met her. It sounds delightful. Before Maul can growl at him, there's a pointed clearing of a throat, and the Prime Minister approaches Maul, puffed up and pleased with himself. Master Jedi, he says, offering Maul a familiar hilt like it's a war prize. As you can see, our forces secured the Sith on his way to kill the king. I believe the Jedi can handle things from here. Maul breathes in, breathes out. Behind him, Cody is as tense as a wire, blaster in his hands, and just shy of aimed. Ah, yes, he says silkily, and gives the man a dark look. Of course. Since you have everything so carefully under your control, tell me, where are your guards? The Prime Minister blinks, caught off guard, and one of the security officers goes stiff, instantly jerking his comm up. With a rattling crash, the droids crumple as one, and Obi-Wan whirls free, leaps. Maul lunges, but the lightsaber is already igniting, bisecting the Prime Minister in an instant, then whirling across the room to behead two of the security officers as they try to aim. Obi-Wan catches it, flips, lands, and whirls up just in time to catch the blue of Maul's blade on his own. "Still so quick off the mark, Maul," Obi-Wan says, and this close, the yellow of his eyes is a bright, burning thing, like a Zabrak's eyes catching the light. Maul feels it shiver down his spine, and if Obi-Wan were a Jedi, were a Zabrak? But he's not, and Maul's traitorous brain can't be allowed to go down that path. He snarls, kicks out, and Obi-Wan leaps back, flips over his head, and lands lightly. On instinct, Maul lets the other end of his lightsaber burn to life, and Obi-Wan curses as he darts back, out of range of the blade, and then spins as Maul advances. "The three of you," he says, annoyed but still full of good humor as he retreats. "Some clever master should have told all of you that good Jedi just focus on one blade." Maul smirks, twisting the double-ended blade through his hands. "Oh," he mocks. "Did someone have trouble with Feral and Savage? What a shame that you have to blame your opponents for your own lack, Kenobi." Obi-Wan chuckles lightly, circling, and Maul turns tightly to keep him in view. "Being trained by one of the best swordsmen in galactic history, and using two blades, should be cheating," he says. "And Savage, for all his plentiful charms, is a monster." With a snarl, Maul lunges, and Obi-Wan jerks up to block the blow, leaps the next, twists around the reverse, and cuts for Maul's throat. Maul wrenches his head back to let it pass and takes off the tip of one of his ear cuffs, makes him hiss in irritation. When he leaps for Obi-Wan, Obi-Wan ducks the blow, kicks out, but Maul catches his foot, shoves, and slams him up against the wall with a bone-rattling thud, their blades locked between them. "Do not," Maul growls, "speak of my brother in such terms, Sith. There is only one monster between you, and it is not Savage."
"I was going to say," Obi-Wan manages breathlessly, "that he's a monster with that whip and blade combination. It's enough to give a man ideas."
Maul snarls and slams his horns forward, but there's a snake-quick twist, a jerk as Maul's lightsaber is wrenched from his grasp. He's slammed into the wall, pinned there with Obi-Wan pressed up against his back, and goes perfectly still as Obi-Wan's lightsaber slips right past the column of his throat.
"I wouldn't do that, Commander," Obi-Wan says lightly, faintly breathless,
and there's one hand curled around Maul's hip. Fingers tight in a way that makes the anger in Maul's chest tangle with something else entirely.
"Master Opress is a prodigy among Jedi, but it would be so easy for you to miss and hit him, wouldn't it?"
Cody, braced in the doorway with his blaster against his shoulder, doesn't waver.
"I think I'm willing to take my chances," he says evenly. "General?"
Maul struggles briefly, just to see how far he can move. But Obi-Wan is strong for a human, has an acrobat's heavy muscle, and he can't do more than shift the bastard. He snarls, but says, "If you have a shot, Commander, by all means, take it." Obi-Wan chuckles, warm against his ear, and the feeling is so like a Zabrak's purr that it shatters through Maul like an electric shock. His breath catches hard and he freezes, feels the sharp twist of interest, the way the fingers around his hip curl tighter.
"Is that all the good Commander wants to take?" Obi-Wan asks, soft, and the brush of lips against the curve of Maul's shoulder makes him shiver. "After Nar Shaddaa, I can assure him that the effort is worth it."
Maul growls, fingers digging into the wall. He's breathlessly, acutely aware of the red blade beside his throat, the bulk of Obi-Wan against his back, the unwavering weight of Cody's eyes fixed on them.
It's making his breath rise hot in his lungs, and he can't hide the rising heat, the want that knots in his belly. "I," he says, as steadily as he's able to, "was entirely unaware that you were a Sith." Obi-Wan chuckles, and he kisses the line of Maul's throat opposite his lightsaber. "Tell me truthfully, Maul," he says, soft. "Would you have refused me if you knew what I was?" Maul closes his eyes, trying to keep his breathing steady. "Of course I would have," he snaps.
"A lie," Obi-Wan says, amused. "I didn't think Jedi were supposed to lie."
His mouth brushes the curve of Maul's ear, and then teeth catch on the looped chains there. Tug. Maul moans, not able to help it, and he could get free right now. Obi-Wan is off balance, lightsaber dipping, and if Maul wrenched his head back, he could cause damage. Take out an eye, get out of the hold. He doesn't. "You have a strange idea of Jedi and what we allow," Maul manages, and flattens his hands against the stone, pushing back. The gasp from Obi-Wan is gratifying, and so is the catch in Cody's breath, loud across the helmet speakers. It makes want coil down Maul's spine, and he hadn't realized Cody wanted him. Doesn't know if Obi-Wan's touch or Cody's gaze is driving the heat higher, or maybe it's both together. Cody's attention, Obi-Wan's mouth on his throat and hand on his hip, the touch sliding up the inside of his thigh. But the lightsaber is still at Maul's throat, and Maul growls as he realizes what this is. The force and the concentration, the delicacy needed for that kind of touch. It has no right to sink barbs of desire straight into Maul's gut, but it does regardless. Obi-Wan is powerful. Powerful and skilled in a way that Maul has never been able to look away from. And having the full focus of that turned on him, that deft hand with the force turned entirely to the touch that's ghosting across Maul's stomach, sliding down his skin like a caress, it's on the very edge of too much. "Obi-Wan," he rasps, and Obi-Wan shivers, pressed up against his back. He kisses the nape of Maul's neck, tongue sliding across the edge of one of Maul's necklaces, and his hand slips from Maul's hip to slide up, fingers splaying across his stomach.
"Maul," he murmurs right against Maul's skin, "if you join me, I'll make you a king. I'll give you anything you want, all the power you could dream of. You could even bring your loyal clone commander, your brothers. But I've never met a more beautiful opponent, and I find I want to keep you."
Maul shudders, digging into the stone, thinks of Nar Shaddaa, the weight of Obi-Wan on top of him, the way their bodies tangled, the way Obi-Wan dragged Maul astride his hips, pinned him there and watched, his burning gaze never wavering. Easy to say that Maul didn't know the handsome pirate captain he'd fallen into bed with was a Sith, but part of him knew. A part of him always knew. "One more concubine for your harem of lost souls, Kenobi," he rasps, and Obi-Wan laughs, a little rough. The hand on his stomach slides up over the deep V where his robes gape, and he makes a winded, breathless sound as his fingers scrape the rings just hidden behind dark fabric.
"You can have your own harem, too. Don't worry," Obi-Wan promises, and smiles against Maul's throat. "I'm sure Commander Cody would volunteer. He's thinking so loudly right now, after all."
A jerk, a half step back, and Maul can feel the wash of Cody's sudden surprise. The dismay. "I," he growls, "at least have the good taste not to rummage through other people's minds, Sith." With a hard shove, he throws himself back from the wall, slams his head back, and Obi-Wan yelps. There's a twist, the loud report of a blaster, and Obi-Wan blocks the shot, but Maul calls his lightsaber to his hand, blades already burning back to life, and lunges. Obi-Wan catches the blow, but only just. There's blood running down the side of his face from a deep gash above one eye. Even now, though, he's smiling, easy, amused. But I learned so many interesting things eavesdropping. He protests lightly, raises a hand, yellow eyes focusing, and Maul jerks, breath escaping him on a gasp as the rings in his nipples tug. He catches himself, grits his teeth, and growls, and Obi-Wan laughs breathlessly. Those must be new, he says, smiling. And sensitive, Maul. Surely a shirt that covers everything would be a better choice. Maul considers baring his teeth at him, then reconsiders. He smirks instead, sly, and slides a hand up, slipping his fingers under the edge of his robes where they slant downwards. Renounce the Sith, and I'll let you find out just how sensitive, Obi-Wan. He says, low, teasing, tugs gently on a ring, tipping his head back, and feels a presence right behind him, steady and braced. Takes another step back, and Cody is ready, presses a hand to his back and braces him there. Obi-Wan's golden eyes flicker between them, just for a second, and his throat works. He laughs a moment later, winded, and raises his red blade like a salute. If anything could tempt me to give up this path to peace, he says ruefully, it would be a man like you, Maul. But I'm afraid Qui-Gon would be most disappointed in me if I gave in so easily. He tips his head, smile curling into something darker, and says, though, of course, you're welcome to come find me on Nar Shaddaa if you've an interest. Both of you would be very welcome. He smirks, flicks his blade, and then he's gone, leaping for the window. Maul throws himself after, but glass shatters with a crash, and Obi-Wan lands lightly in a waiting speeder that immediately sweeps away, Anakin at the helm. Standing on the seat, Obi-Wan turns, casts Maul a teasing smile, and blows a kiss. Maul growls, disengaging his lightsaber with a flourish and then turning, stalking back towards where Cody is waiting. The king is likely dead, he says, displeased, and casts a glance at the Prime Minister, and whoever else that little Skywalker brat could kill while Kenobi kept us occupied. Let us look. Sir, Cody says, and falls into step with him. There's a moment of hesitation, though, a curl of gloved fingers going tight around his blaster. And then he says grimly, I'm sorry I didn't take the shot, General. Maul snorts. I hate blaster wounds, so I'm not, he says dryly, casts a glance at Cody, and then says, I believe we have other things to discuss. In my room, perhaps. Tonight. Another pause, and then Cody takes a breath. Maybe one or two, he agrees, wry, and then asks, Sir Nar Shaddaa? If you're asking if we're going to take a Sith up on his offer, Maul says crossly, I think you should get checked for a concussion, Commander. And if you're asking exactly what I did on Nar Shaddaa, I believe I can show you far more easily than explaining in words. Cody considers this for a moment, amusement loud in all of Maul's senses. Is that because you just don't want to admit that you let a Sith? We, Maul says, cutting him off ruthlessly, are focusing on the murders, Commander, and not on my involuntary but regrettable reactions to an enemy who is too attractive for anyone's good. Cody makes an agreeable sound. Of course, sir. Does Farrell know? Horror almost manages to kill the heat that's still coiled up Maul's spine. He most certainly does not, and you are not going to tell him. Or Savage. I will be locked in my rooms until the 10th anniversary of the war's end, at least. I don't know, sir. It might be a good way to deal with all of the Sith. My brothers are not to be used as heat-seeking missiles, Maul says darkly, pauses as his own actions briefly rear their heads, and course corrects smoothly. Not by anyone else. It is my privilege as the youngest. Slander. Farrell and I are twins. There is no youngest. Of course, sir. I'll get us a ship for a flight to Nar Shaddaa whenever you're ready. Cody is smirking beneath his helmet. Maul stops in the hallway, turning on him with narrowed eyes, and crowds him up against the wall with a purpose. When he hauls Cody's helmet off, he's smiling, and Maul kisses it off his pretty mouth. The phantom weight of Obi-Wan's touch and the heady heat of Cody's eyes still burning beneath his skin. They absolutely won't be going to Nar Shaddaa, though. Obi-Wan can come find them himself if he's interested. The end. You're asking for, and everybody in the front room's tripping out. You left your bottle at the door. Cause everybody in the back room's spinning out. You don't remember what you're asking for, and everybody in the front room's tripping out. You left your bottle at the door. If you enjoyed this podfic and feel like leaving feedback, you are more than welcome to. You can find this podfic wherever you found it posted in the first place, and from that post, you can find a link to the text post where you can leave feedback for the author. Thanks for listening!